Calling, calling, calling.
I hope I'm doing this right.
I hear you.
I pushed the little green phone button, so I guess that's how it works.
Well, we seem to be talking to each other.
Okay. Well, I see a little icon of you on my screen.
And I see your little scary avatar.
Oh, what's my avatar look like?
It's the one from Green Guy and Jim.
Oh, the very
serious one.
Yeah, that's it. Kind of serious looking.
Yes.
I'm serious about it.
Yes, you look serious.
Yeah, I held my cell phone in my hand and looked at and pushed the little thing over and over and over again and kept looking at the pictures, and they all looked like police lineup photos. Looked like I should have been holding a number up.
You know,
and that's finally, this was the one that was good enough. I said, all right, that's it. I don't know how to do this.
You should have added some numbers to it, holding a little thing. It would have added some flair to the avatar.
Well, that might be what it needs to take the serious edge off.
So how you doing tonight? How's the keys?
Oh, too hot and too humid. Oh. Absolutely. Unfortunately, it's I don't know what it's up there, but down here today it's been completely overcast, low-hanging clouds, the sun shining through clouds, so it looked all blurry and murky all day, and you'd think it was going to rain, but it never did.
Just like here.
Okay, so that's pretty much how it is down here, too. I think our weather is almost the same most of the time, unless we've got a storm that comes our way or that goes your way that doesn't get both of us.
We both live right next to the water. I mean, you're in the water practically, and I live right next to the beach, so.
Yeah.
I pity the people out west, Broward. It's just a swamp out there. No water, nothing.
No. I don't know how they can live in the rest of Florida, that whole center part and that little bit northern part before it gets up to where it might be a little bit cooler in the north of Florida. But the rest of it, I can see living on either coast, but in the middle, I don't know.
No, it's very inexpensive to live in West Broward, and that's probably the reason.
Yeah.
So how's things been with you, with the business and everything?
Absolutely terrible. It's all traffic, really, for me, Cleo. Or I guess I can call you Terry here, right?
Everybody knows me as Cleo. Call me Cleo.
Yeah. It really comes down to traffic, and so much of the traffic has been routed away, and by the time you can get your hands on it again, it's been ruined one way or another. So the ratios on everything are just gone to hell. You know, I vary between 1 out of 3,500 to 1 out of 800, depending on which niches and which sponsors. And that's just, you know, it's too much work at 1 out of 3,500, and it's almost too much work out of 1 at 800.
Yeah, unfortunately, I'm seeing the same thing. But what gets me is they go all the way to the join page, and then they don't even do nothing. I mean, they're making it to the join page.
Well, I guess you probably check sponsors like I do, and some sponsors, unfortunately, force their join page at people where, you know, they'll show you the episode. There's the video. If you click it, it plays. There's the photos. If you click one of the photos, you're on the join page. Well, of course they're going to back up. That's not what he was trying to do.
That is true. That you basically talk about the blind clicks. Yeah,
there are too many tours where the sponsor believes that now that I've got you on my tour, if I can just show you my join page, I've got you. And that's really not the way it works. So, people where I see that they're making all the way to the join page, but then they're backing up. A lot of those are sponsors who have that. That's the problem with their tour. And none of them want to listen. They all believe that if they show them the tour page, the join page more often, they get more joins. Of course, those same sponsors won't run an A-B test, so they'll never know.
No. I'm seeing the same results from search engine traffic as I'm seeing from the linked list, TGPs. It doesn't seem to matter where the traffic comes from.
It's like there used to be the newcomers. You know, I don't want to call them newbies. I don't want to, you know, downgrade their value, because those people that used to come off of AOL, where that was their way onto the internet, they actually had an AOL connection. And the first time that people with any new computer found a search engine, they really were new valuable people who hadn't already been to all the things you want to show them. But now they're not quite like that anymore. There's so much knowledge out there that by the time someone gets their internet connection, they already know what they're going to do with it.
Do you think part of the problem?
Traffic,
I'm sorry. Do you think part of the problem is they're just bored with the porn?
Yeah, there's a whole lot of porn. I just don't have any idea how to sell it. I mean, if I really wanted to dig and find the very best sponsors who really understand what they're doing with those particular, you know, like, I know there are people who sell big-breasted blondes. Okay, I don't know how to, I mean, I know how to sell it. I really don't know how you can sell enough of it for the work you'd have to put in. You know, there are some things that are too easy to find, and there are some things that almost no sponsor out there really seems to understand how to talk to the person who that. Either they have a problem with their content, they have a problem with their tour, they have a problem with popping up their join page too often, they have a problem with pop-ups when the person tries to leave, or they're cross-selling to other sites that don't carry your affiliate code. You know, it's like they want to piss the surfer off so he'll try to leave, so they can show their exit console, which doesn't carry your link.
So you think they do that on purpose? Some of them.
I don't want to send traffic to a sponsor who will either do it on purpose or be so stupid not to know he's doing it by accident. Really what it comes down to is I've really cut way down on the amount of sponsors. When I had a lot more sites active and I was doing a lot with the sex story sites, which we sold off a few years ago, I probably had between 300 and 500 pay sites being promoted. Now I'd say there's certainly less than 100. 50 of those are worth promoting, and probably half of those are really worth promoting. I really don't see a lot out there that's worth spending much time on. That's what I see the problem is with adults. If we really narrowed it down to, and now just go to the ones that are worth promoting, it gets to be small, I think. Well, at least for me, because I'm not going to promote the general. What I always look at as mainstream is the mainstream of porn. You know, if it's not a specialized BDSM or fetish niche, I think it's kind of a waste of time. Unless you've got an immense amount of traffic, and then, okay, you know, you can show them a little bit of everything and find out what your traffic wants. But most of us don't have that kind of traffic these days.
No. Go on.
I sold off all my traffic really years ago, and so now I'm just kind of putting back together traffic, and it's, you know, I'm glad I sold what I sold when I sold it, because in every case, even when I sold off not the Fetish Club and Cash Fetish, but other fetish and BDSM properties, BDSM World, Fetish Information Exchange, things like that, they all brought good prices, and sold at the right time. I really still wish I had that traffic, though, because it was nicely filtered, specialized traffic. And
where was that traffic generated from?
Well, back then, it was two things. It was search engine traffic, and it was traffic from people. It was in the days where you put up a page where not just webmasters, but visitors to the site were invited to pick up these little buttons and banners and links and put them on their pages and link to you. And people did, because that's how things worked back then. In the BDSM and fetish world, it was really late coming to the paste model. At first, everything was kind of community and shared. So things like Fetish Information Exchange were just pages and pages of facts, fact pages on all kinds of topics. Eventually added a little bit of advertising to it, but mostly there was nothing to join, or nothing to put in there. And a lot of people linked to it. That was the same site I put up the Fetish News, the newsletter I still do today, and just simply asked people if they liked the newsletter to put one of these little buttons on their sites. And we got an enormous amount of putting up these tiny little, 100 by 100 pixel buttons that if you clicked on, opened our little setup box.
And these were not affiliate buttons.
No, these were just for me. It was just to build our own mailing list.
Basically fans.
People that were interested in information about BDSM, bondage, fetishes of various kinds, and wanted to get an email newsletter back when there weren't newsletters, people weren't getting pounded with as much spam. So it was easy to be one of the few people that had something like that to offer, so people would link to you. And then it was easy to send them something that most of them weren't getting a whole bunch of crap in their mailbox. So, we've got people that are still on the list from 1999, 2000, 2001. That's one thing I really should say is, if you're not building a list, start collecting names and build a list. Whoever's doing that really should do it.
Hey, Simon, I got to ask you, do you have anything else using your internet connection, because Skype is breaking up a little bit with you? Sounds like a bandwidth issue.
I have the chat room open, but I doubt that's using much.
No.
I don't have...
You're not streaming anything or downloading? Or?
No, I'm not.
Okay.
And it's a Comcast paid connection, so it should be fine.
Yeah, it sounds like Skype is trying to renegotiate the connections. Most of the time, I can understand everything.
Sorry about that. I seem to be hearing you fine, but then again, I've probably been talking more.
Yeah, actually, now you sound fine. It's just it sounded like something was hogging your bandwidth.
Well, that could be. I don't know how it can, but it could be that the chat room, or I'll go ahead and quit. Don't have the show playing.
That's probably what's doing it, the show playing at the same time.
Yeah, because I don't have it open, but I'm going to go ahead and quit it just in case it interferes. So, where were we?
We were discussing your newsletters and gathering lists of names and in order to generate traffic.
Well, to generate more revenue from whatever traffic you do have. In mainstream, I know we have a forum now for mainstream, so we'll probably talk more about how lists are important there. But in mainstream, it's a critically important thing to do. In adult, it mostly seems to be ignored, and I really don't understand it, because I came from a direct marketing and direct mail background where capturing somebody's contact information and what they were interested in is very important. And just kind of move into the web. Well, of course you want to do that. But being able to get whatever traffic you have, plus however many of them you can convince by doing whatever it takes to get somebody today to sign up for a newsletter, and get those people to give you an address so that whenever you want to, you can reach out to them and say, here's something you should know about, and you like when I send you things, and here's something good, here's a special new something. I'm not just going to pound you with the same thing over and over again. I'm not just going to tell you to sign up over and over again. You'll get sales every time you do that, once you build a list of, you know, a reasonable size.
You're basically targeting people with exactly what they're looking for.
Yes. And it's a different world today. I know it's a lot harder to build a list, but if you're not doing it, I think it's an old Confucius saying that says the best time to plant a tree is 10 years ago. The second best time is today.
I have a very old list over at Foxy Angels, and we do wonderful on that list. So I can relate to this.
I think I'm on your list. I see that you do something out weekly.
Yes.
Fetch news I do about weekly, and it's a changed thing now. I've really slimmed it down to just sending people the latest stuff that I have to tell them about that's the post. So they might get 9 to 12 images with just the subject line, the headline for that post, and link to it.
I find it's important not to send out too many, overload them. Just people don't like to have their emails flooded with stuff.
No, there are people that say you should mail every day, but that really is something you can't do when you're starting. You have to slowly develop your list, and then you have to test to see what your list really wants you to do. You know, after we started in 1999, so this will be 12 years, 13, we started in June, so the 19th will be our anniversary of this.
Wow.
So, you know, I usually mail about once a week. Sometimes I'll skip a week just because it makes it a great pleasure to get emails from people saying, did I miss an issue?
Hey, Simon, you're breaking it really bad. Why don't we hang up? I'll call you right back and we'll see if that helps. How's that sound? Okay, I'm going to hang up.
Okay, let's see if this is any better.
Well, you sound better now, but who knows?
Right, but it could break up right away.
Bill just suggested what we just did.
Now, I see that people are posting what looks like questions, because there's question marks at the end of them.
I'm trying
not to pay attention to anything except us talking, but okay, so let's see. Virgo Hippie says, so you have one big list or lots of little lists broken down by niche. Do you profile them? I have two reasonably sized lists. I have an in-house list with about 150,000 people, and I have a Yahoo Groups list that was where we first started out back in 99, and that has about 220,000 members on that group, new people discovering it at Yahoo Groups and signing up every week. So that's another thing to consider, is that, you know, a lot of people won't tell you to make use of Yahoo Groups or that it's any good for list building or group building, but it really is. It's an old social group network, but the people are there for porn, unlike Facebook, Twitter, and all the other places we're trying to figure out how to use for adult. we should pretty much stop and consider how to use them for mainstream. Look at the actual porn networks and make use of those, because Yahoo Groups has lots and lots of groups that are designed for people who are interested in porn. Since they're at Yahoo Groups looking at that stuff, if you have a group that's there, you have it named properly, and they do a search for more of what they're interested in, they'll find your group. So that's something to do too. I do want to say I don't have either of those groups, either of those lists, broken down by niches. We never collected them that way. And although we could do mailings to try to profile them, you found that a very small percentage will respond to the mailing to try to profile them, and a very small percentage will respond to doing a survey online. We used to do surveys all the time to try to find more out about not only the individuals, but to, you know, if we can get a big enough sample, we can kind of profile the list based on that sample. But I just don't trust that information. I think that you really have to give people, in our case, for the list of this size, we try to give them about a dozen choices, hopefully one of which will appeal to one or more of their basic driving fetishes that get them to click and come take a look. If I can drive them from a newsletter mailing to whichever page on a site I want them to go to, every time I do a mailing, I'm going to make sales.
Now, that I count on. In these mailings, are they basically just text talking about stuff, or is there some visuals? Or I've never seen one of your newsletters, so...
Give me a second, and let me see if I can find one online that I can paste in the chat just to show you. It's a real simple thing. Let's see.
I know the ones I do for Foxy is basically just, this is the new content that's been released this week and a little bit about it. Mm-hmm. We hope it generates interest with people that are not currently members, and they'll join, and it seems to work.
Well, this is very similar, except it doesn't concentrate just on, like you did, that's a particular mailing for Foxy.
Right, it's very specific.
Yeah, when we had the Fetish Club and other smaller pay sites, we did that with our member mailings. And, you know, it does keep people alive. You know, maybe a few people get that and say, oh, geez, I have a membership I don't really want, I'm going to cancel. But a lot more people retain a lot longer if you do that.
Well, we found that members like it because they don't have to keep a checking, logging in to see if the content's been released this week yet.
Right, so. Exactly. So, okay, yeah. there's a URL that will give
great.
You a little peek at this is...
This looks like a lot of work.
It is, in the sense that it takes about 4 hours to put together once you're used to doing it. The thing is that all these posts already exist. They've already been produced in the last week anyway. The photos that went with those posts contained these images either somewhere in it or somewhere in the gallery that went with it. So grabbing a 200 by 133 thumbnail to drop in these slots is easy. The headlines were, when they were written for the blog post, were written with this in mind. So it's the right space of words to fill a headline block both on the blog and in that particular spot on the newsletter. So producing it is kind of just grabbing the stuff that is already there and dropping it in the holes, writing an intro paragraph. Sometimes it's a sentence or two. Sometimes it's a lot longer because I've got some other stuff to talk to them about. Sometimes I may include what I think is an interesting quotation or a joke. I might tell them about some special events that are going on around the holidays at various fetish places. So this is kind of the meat of the matter. You know, each week they're going to get something like this that there should be something there for them to like. If not, they can unsubscribe and, you know, I'll miss.
It's a very nice looking newsletter.
Well, it's really simple to do, though. That's the thing. The banner at the bottom doesn't go when the mailing goes out. It's, you know, it's in the email. The banner is only there on these pages, and, you know, at the top of each newsletter. One button that goes in the email, it's got a little line that says, if you'd like to read this online, you know, click here, and it shows them this, that. But basically, it's the same. If you get an HTML version in the mail, this is what it should look like. But it drives a lot of traffic the day of the newsletter, the next day, and then another small bit the third day every week. That all of a sudden are at the site that aren't there on the other days. And every time I mail, I can count on new sales based on the referring URL being one of the posts that's in, you know, one of the, that's in these mailings. So it's really important, if you're not mailing now, to start building a list. If you've got a website, any traffic, I'll collect it off. Don't, you know, just say, for more, whatever it is you have a website about, for more of that, you know, put your email here. Put a little line under that says, we won't spam you, we won't sell your address, we won't, you know, make yourself sound like you're not going to do a bad thing to them. And some people will start giving you their address. You should do that. Everybody should.
Yeah, I just was taking a look at the archive page of your newsletters, and I had the same thing at Foxy's, and I've discovered it gets a lot of search engine traffic, the archive.
Yeah, about that, yeah. Very true.
Yeah, it's...
And I would say, you use .mail, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. I really suggest that. I mean, as a $50 product, you know, you can build, I think it's 5 lists, up to 25,000 email addresses per list for free. Then if you want to upgrade to the pro version for $50, you can build an unlimited number of lists, as large as you want every list to be. No restrictions. It's a program. It really is.
It's a wonderful program. We're still running an older version of it. I see they've switched over to an SQL database for the back end.
I still use the flat file too.
Right. Yeah. It's it doesn't look like it's going to be much fun to upgrade to the SQL version.
Yeah, I figure I would get a new copy, put it on a new place, and start using it to build a brand new list. And then when I'm comfortable with it, I can worry about porting the data from the, you know, the old flat file into it.
Yeah, I started upgrading Foxy's and then reverted back to the old version. This didn't seem worth the hassle. But I guess it's something I'll have to do eventually.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Bill just asked, what mailing company is that again, Simon? It's it's not a mailing company, it's The program is called Dada Mail. Let me see if that's... I think it's Dada Project. DadaMailProject.com.
They do keep on changing it. Hang on, I'll find it.
I know they do. It is. It's DadaMailProject.com.
Yeah, I remember it used to be something before Dada even. I can't remember what that was.
Mojo.
Mojo, that was it. Mojo.
Yeah. And they had to change that for trademark infringement. Then it became Dada Mail. Now it's Dada Mail 4 and Dada Mail Project. But it's a work of art. If you read about this piece of software, and I gotta tell you, Virgo Hippie in particular, and if you read about the guy that designed and is producing this particular mailing script, he's really doing it as an art project, not so much as a software engineering project. So he just it to spam. That's all I ask. And, you know, if you want all the support and all the great magic book that goes with it, and you want upgrades forever for free, send me $50. And it's worth so much more than that, I'm telling you.
It's over the years, I've used it for quite a different things. I used to have one on Clio's links, but I never really could figure out what to send out to it, so I kind of killed it. I regret that now.
Well, you just, everybody just put up, you know, download the free version of this, read about it in the instruction manual, follow the instructions, put up an email collector. Once you start building a list, I promise you, you can figure out what to send them if you just, you know, what it is that you're doing each week that you believe somebody would want to know about. And if you're not doing anything each week that somebody would want to know about, start doing things each week that somebody wants to know about, because otherwise you can't make sales anyway.
Go on.
I'm really trying to talk to everybody that's in the room and anyone that's listening. When I ask this, I'm not really saying to you, because I know that you probably know every bit of this and a lot more when it comes to some things, for sure. But with mailings, you know, if it kind of has to work because you believe it works. You have to say, I'm doing these things every day, whether it's updating my lists, whether it's building blog, whether it's submitting. If you're submitting things, if that's all you're doing, you're building. If you've got a hub page where you're listing your free sites or galleries, well, then every week send out a list of your latest, just yours, free sites and galleries that you have built, so that your people who gave you their address know about them.
And this program is very easy to set up. That is quite easy.
Well, I don't know what I'm doing, so I don't want to say that, but it always has been. I will say that. It's always been. Bill, I have never used PHP List, so I really can't compare it. I started out list building using the, I think it was One List before it became Yahoo Groups, and I think it was even something else before that. But it was way back in like mid-90s. From there, the very first software that I tested to do lists was the original of Dada Mail, which was Mojo Mail. And I just never bothered with anything else because this just does what I want. It may have less features than some of the fully featured list managers that are designed for follow-up campaigns and autoresponders and all of that kind of stuff. This is more of either a discussion list or a newsletter list. If you're doing either of those two things, Dada Mail is good for that.
I put a web page on the server, and then I put the URL of that web page in Dada Mail to do the mailing. Is that how you do yours?
I used to do that. I did all of the Cash Fetish mailings we did that way. But I found out that some people had problems seeing what I was sending them. They weren't seeing it the same way. Now, with yours, it's a lot simpler because you don't really have, they're not that big or that long.
No.
And usually have like one or two images, a little bit of text, top and bottom.
Mm-hmm.
That's so. Sending the web page version with something like that should be great. With this, I paste a version of just the HTML code into the advanced layout, and then I paste a text that tells them if they can't see it or all they see is HTML code, click this link to go to the website to see it.
That's a good idea.
What that tends to do is it because you're sending out an actual email and the email contains all of the email headers that come by sending that way, along with a text version message for the reader in case he can't receive HTML, on the receiving end, when it has to pass through the major ISP, it helps me get through AOL, let me say that. And I don't like getting my stuff bounced off servers, so for me, it's worth doing it that way.
That's You know, I always see the thing where it says you can send a text version of this, and I've always left it blank. I never thought of just simply putting a link to the online version of it.
Yeah, put the link and about two or three sentences to tell them about why you're giving them that link. Just so you've got some text in the text-only version, that'll help. Once you start getting enough on a list to be mailing a lot and you're hitting certain ISPs with a lot of addresses over and over again, you have to start being a little more careful with your structure, just so you can make sure that people actually get it and it just doesn't go into their, you know, the ISP spam filter and never even reach them. Dunk has a question. Do you track emails Simon opens, bounces, junk like you can in AWeber, Campaign Monitor, etc.? It's a little bit different with Dada. Dada isn't set up for mainstream follow-up mailings, autoresponders, all of that stuff. So what it does is it has what's called the Mystery Girl Bounce Handler. And there's a whole long story with that, but that's what you get. And in the magic book that you get, if you get the pro version, it explains how to use all of these tools. The bounce handler basically handles it all for you. It looks at the message and determines, is it a hard bounce, a soft bounce? If it's a hard bounce, it follows certain rules. If it's a soft bounce, then it says which kind of soft bounce and follows other rules. Once you've tweaked that setting, or those group of settings, you can just do your mailings and it will automatically clean your list for you. So if somebody's address does go bad, of course they can automatically subscribe, unsubscribe, all of that. But if a list, if an address is bouncing, it will clean it off the list for you. What I'll suggest, in case anyone really cares about this stuff, is that although it will do it automatically and it will clean your list, keep your logs, because everything, every so often go through it and look for all the ones that it removed for you because of the bouncing. Send out a special mailing from your bounce robot to say hi to these people, saying, hey, you know, we removed you because we think you don't exist, or your mailbox is full, or whatever the reason was. But if you do, and that was just a temporary thing, and you don't want to stop receiving this newsletter, just reply to this email. Do that at least a couple times a year, if not more often, and you'll pull a lot of people back onto your list that would have been just thrown away as bounces. They're not all real bounces, is what I'm saying. Does anybody have any questions that have anything to do with BDSM, fetishes, any of that kind of stuff? Because I realize that although that's what we had talked about, that we'd be talking about, we haven't really talked about it. In case anyone had a question, we only have so much time left, so I'll be happy to answer anything, or we can talk about what anybody wants to.
Quiet.
All right, I'm gonna say one thing I had planned to say that I just thought about. And this is a sentence that you really should take to heart. Thing is a fetish when it comes time to spend money. People look at a lot of stuff. They'll be interested in a lot of stuff. But when it really comes down to it, people spend money on their fetishes. And blondes, that's a fetish. Big tits is a fetish. Blowjobs, it's a fetish. Facials is a fetish. If you're not selling it like a fetish, you're missing the main thing that gets someone to decide to spend money. Everything is a fetish when it comes time to spend money. Whatever you're selling, sell it like a fetish.
When I think of fetish, I think more of BDSM or foot fetish or clothing fetish, which...
Yes. A fetish basically is something that someone requires in order to be able to reach orgasm. It's usually a thing, not a person, which is what fetishism is. It's taking something that should be human-based and sexualizing it, an object, high heels, stockings, latex, a certain body part, a foot, a breast, ears, whatever it is, they fetishize that thing. BDSM, really a totally different thing. It's four letters that mean six different words. You know, the BD is bondage and discipline, the DS in the middle is dominance and submission, and the SM on the end, sadism and masochism, or master-slave, depending on who you ask. But none of that necessarily has anything to do with any fetishes whatsoever. BDSM is people-based. It's about people's interaction with each other. The powerful top, the submissive bottom, and all kinds of permutations of that. The fetish side of things have nothing to do with BDSM whatsoever, or they can all be combined. In many cases, people combine everything. A lot of people on their sites, when I can submit certain things, a lot of places I kind of back away from, because there's no place for it. There's a difference between BDSM and fetish, and there's a difference between fetish bondage and sometimes, you know, the choices that are given as far as categories. I don't mind so much because I find my traffic in the right places anyway. But if you're trying to sell any of that stuff, you really got to break it up. It's kind of like trying to sell gay to straight or straight to gay. If someone's by giving up his power, submitting to a powerful woman who's fucking him with a strap on, yes, that's BDSM, and there may be some fetish aspects of the strap on itself, the outfit mistress or dominatrix is wearing, the fact that he may be cross-dressed as a sissy, all of those could be in fetish aspects, but the power dynamic is a submissive male, dominant female. Show that on the same page with sex is a dominant man or two abusing a submissive female for their pleasure, and you've got a surfer that's like, I don't like this page. This isn't what I'm looking. This is a hodgepodge of stuff. People who don't understand the power dynamics think it all belongs together. If you're not making sales in those niches and categories, believe me, it's because you're not breaking it up right. You can't put that stuff together. It doesn't belong together. My other tip.
That's I mean, I know mostly about fetish from selling the shemale stuff, which is a fetish.
It's all a fetish,
right? I never thought about it like that.
I'm spending money. The people who actually tie people up, hang them up in their basement, smack them around, they are a very specialized group of very specialized porn. Everybody else is buying it because they're masturbating looking at it because it's their fetish. They may not be involved in it in any other way whatsoever, except it hits their hot button and gets them to come. That's the only thing that's all about for them. That's
a type of voyeurism.
It really is, yep. And, you know, that's the difference sometimes, whether somebody wants that wall where they're watching it from the outside, or they want the point of view. And, you know, the scenes can shift back and forth from one to the other. It's like, don't you understand that there's a difference between those two kinds of people? But anyway, it sounds like we're getting more breakup, according to
Yeah, it's, I can actually call you on a landline, but,
Well, I don't, anything that you want to do is fine by me, because I'm here and I'm willing, but, if it has questions, I can try to answer one and see if I break up.
It's,
Now, are you hearing me okay, but they're not?
No, I'm hearing the same thing. You're breaking up. It sounds like Skype is chopping it up because of bandwidth. If you want to private message me a landline, I can call you from Skype to your landline, and it would definitely work.
Well, I can give you my cell number, but I don't have a landline.
Cell is perfectly good, too. You can private text it to me. I don't think you want to post it on the board. There's a little text placed at the bottom of Skype.
Here. I don't care about any.
Okay. Well, here, I'm going to hang up from this. I'm going to call you back on your cell. Okay?
Really do.
Oh, I can hear you fantastic now.
Oh, that's good. Okay. Yeah, I don't use Skype, so I don't know how it's supposed to sound or how it sounds. You sounded fine, but I couldn't hear me, so I guess if there's an archive of the show, I can listen and go, oh, geez, that was terrible.
Yeah, there'll be an archive. I'm archiving right now. And, yeah, this is last resort is just to call someone on my Skype, so. But we were discussing the fetishes, and
yeah, I was just saying that it really is all when it comes down to the time to spend. Somebody's not going to spend money on something that's just kind of interesting that they could sort of be interested in, might excite them. No, there's certain things that they find, whether they fixate on a face, a body part, a piece of clothing, whatever it is, when they find that, they want more of it. If they can find more of it, they're going to buy into it. So, you know, that's why I was saying with sponsors, it's important to find a sponsor who understands what it is they're selling and then actually keys in on each of the things that if somebody hits that tour, they're going to see something that kind of pulls them further and pulls them further and pulls them further until the point where they say, you know, I want that join page. You know, my favorite sponsor tours never, ever present the join page. You have to ask for it. You don't. It's not the last page in the tour. There is no last page of the tour. You can just look around. And when you're ready, here's the join page link. It's always there. You can go to it anytime you want. But don't show it to them until they're ready.
No, I think some people just want to see what the price is, but...
Right, and they can. They can hit that join page anytime. But if the guy's still being sold, if he's still... He's getting more and more interested. If you have more stuff... If you don't have more stuff to show him, then there's a problem. But if you have more stuff to show him, then... Let him, now don't show him the stuff that's going to get him off, but show him the stuff that lets him know that the stuff that'll get him off is inside. That's, you know, that's the key. But show him as much of that as you have, because he needs to ask for the join page. He needs to say, I want this. I can't stand this anymore. I'm going to pay money for this. Without that mindset, the guy didn't buy it.
And I think
that's my theory with when it comes to, you know, BDSM and the fetishes. It's a different mindset. I don't know how to sell big-breasted blondes. I just don't. Now, I will say that I make some sales in the transsexual female niche, but it's the transsexual dominance niche. It's not, you know... It's a little more specialized, but
and I have trouble selling
really
that.
I really should talk to you. Yeah.
Yeah, like the straight female stuff, you know, that I can sell. The when they get into the fetish the domination and stuff. Yeah. I don't know how to sell it. I don't understand it.
Well, do you think it's because it's transsexual or because of the dominance angle?
I think it's the dominance angle. I've been to fetish parties and stuff, and I've watched it, and I guess I have some little fascination with it just because it's different, but I don't really understand it, and I find I have a hard time selling something that I don't understand.
Yeah. No, it's true. That's why I don't I can't sell big-titted blondes.
I actually sell a lot of the older and younger lesbian stuff. That sells well for me. Probably because I understand it.
There you go, right? I haven't really looked at Foxy's transsexual dominant stuff. But I really should, because she was interesting on the radio show. I never really knew that she was interesting before.
She's a very interesting person. I got to get her back on again.
Yeah, so since she's interesting, that makes me more interested in seeing what she has, because if she's interesting, you know, that way too, then there's a good chance to make some sales there. You know, I'll have to see what how she plays off some of the dominant stuff, because there are different groups even there. Well, the whole dominance and submission angle, you know, it goes from everywhere from the softest, where the submissive is really in charge because there's negotiations up front and there's safe words, and the dominant only gets to or is allowed to do what the submissive allows, so who's in charge, all the way down to consensual non-consent, which is you give me consent to do what the fuck I want and you shut the fuck up and when I'm done you can leave, which is a whole different game. And you don't tell those two things anywhere near the same.
I would have to say Foxy's stuff was more the poser stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Her strong point is what would be, I guess you would call uniform. The fantasy role-played uniform. That sells well. She understands it. It's what she excels in.
Well, then the transsexual and fetishism is probably more in line anyway, because for some people, dominance and submission is their fetish. There are folks that we used to kind of, you know, we shouldn't have, but we laughed about in the scene. They were the weekend warriors. You know, they only dressed up in their leathers and came out on weekends and played at, you know, whichever role the couple decided was who they were going to be that night, which is fine. It sells a lot of leather gear and a whole bunch of bondage accessories to people. People, you know, fill up little fucking black foot lockers at the foot of their bed or in their closet or, you know, hidden away wherever with all their toys, which is different than, you know, the serious players. I think I mentioned it before in some board postings that, you know, some people just want to see somebody tied up, and just the idea of ropes on skin is arousing to them. The concept of not being able to get away and being forced is arousing to them, okay? Then there are people that look at that same thing and go, she could get out of that fucking tie. You know, that's bullshit bondage. Fuck this, I'm out of here. So, you know, whether or not somebody has good riggers on staff, that when they put the ropes on somebody, you look at it and go, yeah, you're not going anywhere. Okay, I believe you're helpless. Okay. But it's the same for, you know, just about any fetish or any niche that you can think of. If you get it wrong, the only people who are going to buy it are those people who want to see it that way, and there's less of them. So
I think they're less apt to actually fork out the money to see it.
Yeah.
The little bit of bondage kind of stuff that I've done on a personal level, just having fun, it always seems like basically I was telling the person what to do for something they really wanted, but they wanted to be told to do it. If that makes any sense.
Well, that's why I say the whole BDSM thing is about the power dynamics between people. And there's, you know, if you go to a public play space, like you said, you've gone to BDSM clubs or events, mm-hmm. fetish parties, what you see on the outside, you know, he has her chained to the wall and he's flogging her mercilessly. Who's in charge? Who's doing what the other one wants?
Right, she wanted that. See,
well, and she may be the one who's getting what she wants while he isn't. That may not be at all what he wants. So there's the power dynamic that's visible, and there's the underlying one, like you said, when you played, there you felt like you were telling someone to do the thing that they wanted to do anyway.
Right,
but they wanted to be told to do it.
Exactly.
And that's part of the power dynamic, is figuring out, you know, is this what it looks like? And then is what it looks like to the person on the other side of the screen what I want them to see? And is the thing that I'm wanting them to see the thing that will actually get them to want to be a member here? And that's the thing that a lot of sites don't do. They kind of walk past that point and they say, well, it's a niche about this stuff, so we'll get a lot of content about that, and we'll put it out there and put some in the members area and put some on the tour, and we'll have that site. We got, look at our new niche. Well, what does that have to do with anything? It's, yeah, you have a bunch of photos that, and movies that are kind of about that, but not the people that shot it, the people that are in it, nor you, the site owners, understand the niche. So good luck with that. And that's what there's too much of out there on the net, and it wastes people's time. It fills up the tube sites too, and I think people do get kind of worn out and bored with porn.
I honestly think a lot of the people are just plain bored with the porn. They're so overexposed to it that it's
yep.
not exciting anymore.
Yep. That's kind of why, you know, I spend a lot more of my time on the, you know, the harder edge of stuff, because at least it's still got a little shock value. And if it's well done, even if you're used to it, somebody that's creative, if you give them a whole bunch of dungeon-oriented props and things that you can hurt people with and drive them mad with pleasure using, and say, okay, we want about an hour's worth of fun with this stuff, and you get to pick who we can play with, the good creative people are going to turn out scene after scene of good stuff. You know, I don't know how to do that by posing some Czechoslovakian girl on a couch and then having her turn around and fuck her from this side and turn her over and fuck her from that side. And then, I mean, I don't have any idea how to sell any of that. There's no difference between any of it. That's the porn that can't be sold to me. I mean, the time that must go into trying to sell that, I don't understand. But there's a lot more people out there that are probably interested in that, so you do have a much bigger universe to sell to. I just don't know how to sell to them.
I used to do good selling rubber doll stuff. Not anymore, but... and that was... That's a whole other fetish, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But that's to me, that's very voyeuristic, because it was all about watching these people in rubber basically pose. I don't know. Anyway,
okay.
This has been interesting.
Well, yeah, we kind of got off on mailing and all that other stuff, so...
Well, that's a good thing, though.
Yeah, that's.
Does anybody else have any questions for Simon in the chat room?
Yeah, I'm just looking through here. Are bondage accessories mainstream? Yes, they really are. if you look at some of the surveys that have been done, a huge percentage of people have done some kind of bondage in their play. And if you think about it, bondage is as simple as holding someone's hands together at the wrists over their head. It really comes down to that. You know, bondage doesn't have to be about chains. It doesn't have to be about ropes. It doesn't have to be about any of that. And I see Bill says, I don't understand the powerless or powerful part. You're right. Doms aren't powerful. They're in control. In fact, it's just a fact that they're in control. Basically, they're just simply who they are. They just are them. The powerful, powerless part is more of the active exchange. If someone is giving up their power and someone is becoming powerful, that's more of the weekend warrior stuff I'm talking about, where, you know, this is who we are all day, every day, during the week, but then on the weekend, let's go play the power game. It's much different than the way it really is. Any other things that were there? Check girls on... Yeah, that's right. Okay, well, if I guess it's after 9, so...
Yeah, we've ran over it. You've been a great guest. I think the best thing I learned from you is everything is a fetish if they're willing to spend money on it.
Well, when it comes time to spend the money, that's really... that's where it needs to hook them. If it's not hooking them that way right then, too many of them are going to walk away. And you don't want them to do that. But anyway, I'll listen to the archive when I get a chance, and if some parts of it dropped out that had any importance at all, I'll try to fill in a blank.
Okay.
Probably did.
You've been absolutely fantastic, Simon.
Well, it was really good talking with you, Cleo, and good to see everybody here tonight.
Okay. And if I'm down in the Keys, maybe I can drop in or something. So.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay, well...
Yeah, I'm not coming up to the mainland.
I love the Keys.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
Except
Simon.
Hurricanes. All right, I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.